This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear friends in Christ, in our Old Testament lesson for this morning, we see an invitation. Now, we're used to getting these things in the mail. Maybe you've gotten one recently as you get closer and closer to Halloween. An invitation will tell you where to come, at what time, and it'll tell you what to wear in a Halloween costume or whatever. It often tells you what food will be there prepared for you when you arrive. It tells you all of the details you need to know for the party. The same is true with wedding invitations, right? You get those in the mail all the time, oftentimes months before the wedding is to occur. And knowing all the information from location to time to place to food to clothes, you're able to plan and act accordingly to make sure that you arrive at the party you've been invited to. Well, that's what our Old Testament lesson is, an invitation to the faithful. Here's what the invitation says. Come, everyone who thirsts to drink. Come to the waters. Come, buy without money or price. Drink wine and fatty milk. Eat what is good, the good, rich food. Feast upon the bread that satisfies. Leave behind all the unsatisfactory things and come to me, God says. He even says, tilt your ear towards me. In other words, listen to my word. That way you won't miss any of the details of what I have in store for you. Listen to my word and to my righteous servant David, a way of prefiguring Christ, with whom the covenant is now made. God sends out the invitation, repeating over and over again, come to me. Now, who does he send the invitation to? Who is it that he's talking to when he invites them? He even tells us that. He says he's sending this invitation to a new nation, to those who did not know the Lord. Why? So that they might turn from their wicked ways, so that the Lord would have compassion on them. To this end, the Lord has raised up a righteous David to be a witness, to be a leader and a commander for all the nations. The Lord has raised up Jesus, so that people from all over might be gathered in to the Lord's feast, to receive his gifts, to feast on his food, that they may all sit in fellowship with God. Well, in the Old Testament lesson, the invitation is sent out. And the parable in our gospel lesson speaks in that very same way. We see an invitation that is sent out by messengers who go and preach and proclaim that message. They send it out to all the corners of the world. God so loved the world, after all. God sends the invitation out to everyone because he desires that everyone be saved, that everyone turn from their sin, that everyone come to his feast. Well, it would only make sense then, right? that if God is sending out this invitation and the party is going to be so wonderful and awesome, that everyone will be saved, right? Hell ought to be completely empty. Who would ignore an invitation from God Himself? Who would ignore His holy word? Sadly, there are those people out there. And that's what Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel lesson, the doctrine of election. There are people out there who do not listen to God's invitation to come to the wedding feast. There are people out there who do not pay attention, who respond with apathy. There are those who follow their own way instead of God's way. Instead, what do? The text tells us they go out into their own mundane lives. One guy, well, he goes out to his farm, one to his business. They go to the normal, everyday things rather than respond to Christ's invitation. Some are apathetic. But that's not all. Not only are those who ignore God's invitation, there are others who want to wreck the party, who want to destroy it, who reply with violence, killing the messengers who sent the invitation of God. Can you imagine if that happened to a wedding here in our modern world? If you sent out all the invitations and half the people didn't even reply or show up, and then others went around and intercepted the invitations in the mail and burned them and stood outside the doors before the service, threatening those to come in. But that's what happens with God's invitation. Because there are some who value their everyday lives more than God's gifts. There are some who are so hateful towards God that they kill those who believe in Him. There are those who reject God's invitation. So what happens to them? Jesus tells us that answer in our gospel lesson. Jesus says that on the last day, He'll come back, and on that day, He will kill those who rejected His word. He will send those who rejected it to hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, to eternal damnation. That's what waits for those outside the faith. But this poses a new problem that our parable also addresses. The problem is this. If for me the option is to come to church and enter God's party, or to stay outside and be killed eternally with hell, what would you do? You'd just come to church, even if you didn't believe. You'd go through the motions of what's happening on a Sunday morning. Sit in the pew, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. Scroll through your social media feed during the sermon. Count the number of stones up in the front or how many tiles are up here. Look over at others and think about how they're worse than you. just coming into church and going through the motions is not enough either. You must also believe God's word. That's what the gospel lesson teaches at the end of the parable. The master is finally in the party. People from all over have come in to enjoy the feast that he has prepared. And as he looks around, he sees someone who isn't dressed in their wedding garment. He sees someone who doesn't fit in. And what does he do? He binds that one hand and foot, casts him outside of the feast where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The one who wasn't dressed neglected the invitation of the Lord, not by avoiding coming, not by killing those who preached, but instead by being indifferent and unconcerned within the feast, taking for granted what he sat in to hear week in and week out. Now, there's one common denominator for all of those who are not welcomed into the wedding feast. Those who avoided it, those who fought against it, and those who were cast out of it. They did not have faith in the giver of the invitation. They didn't believe his word. And that's what you should take from this gospel lesson. First, do not neglect God's invitation to be here and to receive his gifts. Everything necessary has been ready. God says, come in and receive without cost or price what I have earned for you in the death of Jesus. Come, have your sins forgiven. Come, that you may enter into God's kingdom and live with him forever. Do not take this for granted. Because if you're apathetic towards the faith, if you skip church for mundane everyday life, it will have consequences. If you are hostile towards the church, if you undermine God's word and gifts, and you do not repent of that, there are hellacious consequences. And second, those consequences are just as serious if you do come and sit in the pew but have no faith. So what do we do then with this? These harsh, difficult words of Christ. First, we repent. That means that we see that these words are about us and for us. First and foremost, we need to repent of our sins, our failures to take God's word and invitation seriously. We need to repent of ignoring the beautiful and wonderful things that God has prepared for us, that he does for us right here. We need to repent of our sins that ignore God's constant invitation, demanding your presence, demanding that you receive his good gifts. And if we're hostile to God, we must repent of that as well. There's no reason to be angry for him setting a feast before us. Repent. Just sitting in the pew and going through the motions, finding what takes place in church to be boring or mundane. Repent and hear again the invitation of God. He has set a table before you, an eternal table. And what does he say? Come and eat. Everything is ready. The food, the drinks, the joy, the peace. Everything is ready for you forever. Come and be with me forever, God says. I have paid the price for you. I sent my son to die for you and for your sins. Your sins of apathy, your sins of hostility, your sins of indifference. All of your guilt and your shame and your weakness and your wrongdoing has been placed on Jesus and has been paid for. And now you can come to me. In that word, in that invitation that comes to your ears, God has sent his Holy Spirit to work faith in you, to call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify you in the one true faith, to bring you into the holy Christian church. God desires to gather you into his church as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And what's more, not only has Christ sent out his invitation, he's also brought you in. How? Through the waters of holy baptism, where he washed away those sins that have been paid for, taking them from you as far as the east is from the west. And in the waters of baptism, he puts the wedding garment on you. He clothes you in the robe of his own righteousness that covers all of your sin. He puts the wedding feast garment upon you. Do not take it off, because now you are dressed and ready for the feast that Jesus prepares for you. Do not neglect that wedding garment. Remember your baptism when you rise in the morning, before you go to bed at night. Remember your baptism that makes you God's child. Baptized, called by the word, come and participate in the heavenly banquet. Every time we have church, heaven comes down and we have a foretaste of that feast that is to come. Here from the altar, in with and under bread and wine, we eat Christ's body and drink his blood, bringing us forgiveness of sins all over again. Feeding and sustaining our faith. It's not a small thing. It's a miracle, week in and week out, that God does this through word and sacrament, calling, gathering, enlightening you into the Christian church. It seems like a silly thing, but it has eternal consequences. It seems so simple. And yet God does so much behind the scenes to make it true. Come, God says, everyone who thirsts to drink. Come to the waters. Come, buy without money or price. Drink the wine and the best milk. Eat the good, rich food. Feast upon the bread that satisfies, the bread of life. Come into God's presence. Come to the heavenly banquet. Do not neglect his invitation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.